offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject, an issue today that is subtle in most cases, where our religious liberties and freedom of speech, our morals, ethics, and values as Christians is being shut out, foreclosed upon, and rejected by the world in general. Listen, a person that is a Christian that wants to run for public office has to be very, very careful, because the major thing is there's the mindset that you can't talk about Jesus, you can't talk about ethics and morals and values. You must compromise in some fashion, or you're not worthy, as it's seen by the system, to go into public office. I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, for what we see with the mindset in America, even with a president that has said they're going to shut down and stop any Christian bias. We'll talk about that in a moment, where the commission has been set up by President Trump to be carried out by Pam Bondi, our Department of Justice chief lawyer, to make sure that Christians are not shut out, to make sure that Christians are not persecuted and prosecuted. But ladies and gentlemen, we have enough behind the scenes of the embedded progressives, morals, ethics, and values tossed to the wind, that they still are carrying those things out. I'm looking at headline, not a cult, holy war erupts as the judge bans the mother from taking her daughter to a Christian church. A mother whose constitutional rights were violated by Maine, that's M-A-I-N-E, a state, Maine judge here in custody dispute has taken the fight to the Supreme Court. The case involves a radical ruling from the judge who heard a case, custody case, who ordered that the mother not be allowed to take her 11-year-old daughter to an evangelical Christian church. That was based on objections from the child's father, who, like the mother and daughter, was not identified in the report by Liberty Counsel, which is working on the case. Chairman Matt Staver said the custody order banning mother from taking her child to the Christian church because of its biblical teaching regarding marriage, human sexuality, violates the First Amendment. The custody order cannot prohibit the mother from taking the child, her daughter, to church. The implication of this order poses a serious threat to religious freedom across the nation. The judge granted the father, who objects to Christian teachings in the church, the sole right to govern the girl's religious activities. The High Court is being asked to reverse the unlawful custody order and to restore the mother's First Amendment religious rights to take her daughter to church and to pass the beliefs on to the daughter that the mother holds. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. That is the undermining of religious liberties on its face. This is what we're talking about. We need to recognize that in our nation, the very foundations of our constitutional republic, being that of religious liberties and freedom of speech. That's the reason it's the first of the major amendments that we find the first 10. The first one is the religious liberties and freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be recognized as a problematic scenario, and that needs to be something that we hold dear and not bow and bend to what is said in the public arena. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is clear. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word tribulation there is thelupsis. It's talking about pressure, pain, problems, difficulties. It's very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, these words, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Throughout the scripture, we're warned of that. And we see it being very real in the society in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you? Is it okay? Is it all right? If the governmental system, if a judge or a court or the governmental system or the schools or the academic arena says that somehow, some way, you cannot publicly speak of Jesus, you cannot pray publicly, you cannot have a Bible on your desk, is there something wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen? I'm looking at a headline that says, an attorney is punished for having a Bible on his desk. You say, well, that can't be happening. Listen, a New York public defender is facing punishment for simply having a Bible on his office desk. The American Center for Law and Justice is representing the unnamed attorney. The notion that a Bible placed quietly on a desk constitutes some kind of coercive governmental endorsement of religion is not only absurd, it is legally indefensible. The ACLJ said in a statement, quote, the Establishment Clause was never intended to be weaponized against people of faith. The bottom line, I'll read further in the article in just a moment. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, for too many years, 50, 60 years in particular, Christians have been told you cannot publicly talk about your faith. Christian pastors have been told you cannot talk about issues like politics, as they call it, in the church. Somehow, some way, we've allowed the creeping in of the undermining of our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and our liberties that we have in Christ Jesus. May I say to you, there's a danger, and we're treading on very thin ice in America today, when Christians will be silent, when Christians will compromise, when Christians will say, well, you know, that's what the law says, that's what the rules and regulations say, and we cannot violate those. Ladies and gentlemen, where do we find in the scripture where the Christian is to be silent? Where do we find in our constitutional republic where the Christian is to be silent and we're considered as second-class citizens? This article reads, the trouble started when a fellow staffer barged into his office and demanded that the Bible be removed. The public defender said such a request would have to be made in writing. That did not happen. Instead, a supervisor then stormed into the attorney's office, picked up the Bible, and demanded that it be removed. The ACLJ's client filed for a religious accommodation under the Civil Rights Act. Shortly thereafter, the public defender received a written warning about performance deficiencies and claims that his conduct had been unduly disruptive. On March the 6th, our client received a written warning citing vague performance deficiencies and claiming that his conduct had been disruptive. The warning included a directive to refrain from having any Bible or religious text open and visible for others to see when he would be maybe meeting with clients or fellow staff members in his office. Despite there being no actual disruption, client complaint, or violation of professional standards. The warning also included a directive to refrain from having a Bible or any religious text open and visible when meeting with any client in his room. For the record, the Constitution does not require that the government scrub religious expression from the public workspace. Listen, perhaps you're working in an area. Perhaps you're working in a general office setting. Perhaps you're in a governmental office, and you're told you can't put John 3:16 on the billboard. Or you're told that you can't have your Bible in your cubicle in your private office. Perhaps you've been told that that is unconstitutional, that is illegal, and you can't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply a farce. That is not constitutional. Our constitutional republic does not restrict or say that you must refrain from expressing and carrying out your religious convictions and beliefs. This article concludes with this. This is not just about one Bible or one employee, according to the ACLJ. This is about ensuring that every American, regardless of faith, can work without fear of discrimination or censorship. Our laws and our Constitution are clear. Religious liberty is not a privilege, but it's a right, a fundamental right for every Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. What say you? Are we seeing our religious liberties and our freedom of speech as Christians being restricted, encroached upon, and pushed? Listen, it's gotten to the point in America where there's a mindset that somehow, some way, our Christian values, our Christian beliefs, our morals and ethics and biblical principles should be kept under the bed, hidden in a closet, so that no one will see it, no one will see it, no one will hear it, no one will know it, and therefore we'll be okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that silent, quiet persecution and prosecution of Christians and our beliefs. I believe Lisa's on the line. Lisa, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for bringing all of this to the forefront of our attention. And I hope that everybody is listening and gets off the couch, gets out of their house, and just speaks and glorifies God. And I always say that we put God in the closet and all hell came out.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I've said similarly that Christians have hidden in the closet and the sodomites have come out of the closet.
Yes, indeed. And so when I was, I did craft fair shows in where I sold a product, that guy gave me the idea to spend more time with them is sell a cup of time that says cup of time with Jesus. So I did that for many years. And about a decade ago, somebody who was clearly Middle Eastern came up to my booth and said, you shouldn't be selling this. You're pushing your ideas on people. And I looked at him in complete and utter shock and said, what? And he said it again. And I said, I just shooed him away from my table because I could not even fathom that that was thought of in America, where we are one nation under one God.
Lisa, you're exactly right. One of the things that, if I can be bold enough to do a parenthetical footnote on what you're stating, that's one of the things that concerns. Listen, I'm for President Trump. I believe we need to pray for him, ask God to give him wisdom and strength and protection every day. But the nations that he's been traveling in, and that's all for political purposes, that's all for developing investments into America. But Lisa, it shocked the socks off me when I heard through the news media from Trump and about what is happening that our colleges and our universities, all of the ones that are viewed as prestigious universities and colleges, the major, hear me, the major, major, major funding coming into those colleges and universities are coming out of the Islamic nations. Out of the Islamic nations and the Communist Chinese Party. No wonder we have in our colleges and universities training those that hate America, those that are coming in from Islamic nations. And I'm looking at the Quran. In the Quran, we call them chapter divisions in our Bible. In the Quran, they're called surahs. You can spell that S-U-R-A-H. In Surah 3:151, we shall cast terror into the hearts of all unbelievers, all non-Muslims. Surah 2:191, and kill them, all non-Muslims, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of the disbelievers, that is, non-Muslims. Surah 2:191, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2:216, jihad, that is, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. Surah 456, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them with fire. Surah 4101, the non-Muslims are ever an open enemy to you. And I could go on and on and on with hundreds of the chapter and verses out of the noble Quran that validate that what we're witnessing is an open embrace to that which is antithetical, that which is absolutely totally against our principles and our beliefs as morals, ethics, and values, and one God, and his name is not Allah, and that is the Christian God. And as a result of that, we're bringing the enemies inside, training the enemies that one day will rise up against us. Listen, in my book entitled Is Islam Tolerant, 25 chapters, 324 pages. It goes into great detail of an examination of the Quran, noble Quran, and all of the Muslim Islamic writings, and their goal is to control and to dominate every city, every state, every nation that they ever enter into. They've never given up their goals. And this is what concerns me when I see this open embrace of the Islamic jihadist that I have seen in the countries that Trump is. I'm thankful to see his open, the open embrace. I'm thankful to see them welcoming the American flag. But I'm concerned when we see that on a rampant basis and understand that they're bringing those investments. And Lisa, one other thing, and then I want your response. I'm finding that all of the Islamic nations that Trump has been traveling to, one of the major things that they're interested in buying and getting the technology is the AI, artificial intelligence. And I believe that's one of the major tools that the Antichrist will use. I believe also, based on my study of the scripture, that the coming Antichrist will be an Islamic jihadist, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and following. I believe that that one will come hating the Jews, hating the Christians, and will do everything to slaughter, tear down, and destroy anything that God is doing in our nation. What say you?
I say that you are hearing from the Lord. God has been showing me that in my prayer time, in my life for the last 10 years, because I completely and utterly just want to know him and what the plan is and what he wants us to do. And he wants us to know what the enemy is up to. He wants us to know that. That's why it's all in the Bible. That's why it is all clear for us to see, like you're seeing and like you're getting cautioned about. It's not wise to make deals with the serpent. I am a absolute President Trump supporter, and it's not wise to make deals with the serpent. They have no qualms about flipping the script as soon as it suits them. And my husband has the privilege of having worked with multiple people from multiple cultures throughout his career, and I've had the privilege to travel with him when I'm able to. And we have Muslim friends, we have friends from all nations, and there are three types of Muslims, and there is Sunni, Shiite, and Wahhabi. And a Sunni and a Shiite will tell you that a Wahhabi Muslim absolute commandment is to befriend you, and then when it's time, if you will not convert, they have no qualms about throwing you off a building. And they will do it to their own religion. They'll do it to Sunnis, they'll do it to Shiites, if they will not vow to kill everybody that stands against Muslim. And you're standing against Muslim if you will not convert.
It is the bow or burn. In fact, Lisa, one of the things, and I'll say this and get your take on it, let you go. But right now in the Congo, on the continent of Africa, in the Congo, thousands upon thousands and upon thousands are being burned, beheaded, and destroyed because they're Christians. It is something that is taking place on a very rampant basis, and it seems as though the media is silent. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called truth when there's a silence in the media in relationship to what we see taking place and not say anything about it. It is amazing to me that that is happening. I'm looking at an article that says, Melania Phillips says the fear of Islam is destroying Western courage. How the West is collapsing from within, abandoning our truth, erasing our Judeo-Christian roots, and surrendering to the ideological bent of hate. If you think Western civilization is just going through a rough patch, think again, this writer says. She exposes how the West is collapsing from within, abandoning the truth, erasing the Judeo-Christian roots, and surrendering to the ideology of hate. From the lies of October the 7th, to the cowardice of leaders afraid to name the threat, this is a wake-up call. If we don't reclaim our values and confront reality, we won't have a civilization left to save. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. And there's total silence. In fact, further silence is found when you see those being slaughtered not only in the Congo, but in Nigeria. It is a major, major happening that is taking place. I'm thankful that with our president, he set up a task force to root out Christian bias in the government. But that rooting out Christian bias in the government is primarily in what you call the federal government, trickling down to the state government. But I find that it is not effectuating any change on a local level, state level, and community level across America. It is being imposed upon us as Christians. And I think Christians need to pray. We need to confess our sins. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. Nothing, no other formula will work, Lisa. So I'm thankful. Yeah. Continue
and
to pray.
Like you always say, Dr. Youngblood, you always say we need to be salt and light. It is our responsibility, the commandment, to tell everybody about Jesus. What's going to help somebody with this fear? We all speak about Jesus. We don't stop. And it's so interesting because just this week, Lord God had me, I'm starting a podcast, and he had me speak about those three things that you spoke about, that we were tricked into never talking about religion, never talking about politics, and don't talk about your wage within your workforce, with where you work. Well, how convenient for the devil. We need to knock that bugger off his knees, off his feet, and just start talking about God nonstop, the only true God that will save.
Well, I tell people I've got two subjects that I talk about, and if you're offended by either of those subjects, you don't need to talk with me. Number one is I talk about political things across the world and around our nation. I talk about biblical truth, theology, and doctrine. If you're not interested in theology, doctrine, biblical truth, or about what is happening around the world and how we need to be informed, then you'll be bored to death around me and our conversation. Lisa, thank Amen. You so much for your call. God bless you, and may we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at headline that says Syrian Christians are being killed, and the media is totally silent. The media spent years hyping the Syrian rebels as freedom fighters, ignoring their jihadist roots and anti-Christian agenda. But now the mask is off, and Christians are dying. They'd rather look the other way than admit they were wrong. Over the weekend, many watched in horror as reports poured out of Syria detailing the slaughter of Christians and other religious minorities under the new Islamic regime, now masquerading under the birth name of Ahmed Shara. This article goes on to say, Newsweek reports that since Thursday, more than 1,000 Christians have been killed in Syria. And I'm saying that slowly, definitively, because we've just learned that the gloves have been taken off, that Syria is no longer to be viewed as antithetical to American values, that the new ISIS, Islamic Jihadist head of Syria, is now being embraced by America. Now, I find it fascinating. I find it dangerous, and I find it sad. This article reads, this is a man with blood on his hands, a radical Islamist with a history rooted in both ISIS and Al-Qaeda, who has long despised Christians and sought to eradicate anything that's called Christianity. Yet the mainstream media, even the United Nations, have bent backwards to whitewash his image, painting him as some sort of pragmatic forerunner or reformer, that is. Meanwhile, the bodies of Christian Syrians are piling up, and the West is silent, deafeningly silent. This is not just negligence, it's complicity driven by the media that hates Christians and a failed non-conservative foreign policy obsessed with regime change, no matter the cost. It's a 5-page article, fascinating and dangerous. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're embracing in America today, not realizing that we're embracing the enemy. Listen, in my book is Islam Tolerant, and you can go online, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore and find it. Title, Is Islam Tolerant? I point out the fact that Islamic agenda, once they get between 2 and 6% population in a city, in a state, in a nation, they rise up to take total control. That's been the history of Islamic regime for all of these centuries, and that is still true today. I'm looking at a headline, How Legacy Media for Years Worked to Suppress the Facts That Christians Are Being Martyred Across the Globe. Only a week before Fox reported that the genocide by Muslims against Christians in Nigeria was continuing, there was concern the nation's Christians were being totally wiped out. The report said that Islamics are intent on creating a Muslim caliphate and have been killing Christians wantonly for years already. Nigerian Christians are being wiped out. We need to call it what it is. It's genocide. Ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing. Here's further in the article. In one slaughter this past week, a Muslim attack on Christians left more than 60 Christians dead. Did you hear that in the news? Did the Marxist media say anything about that? No. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always viewed that somehow, some way, the Christians are responsible for something. It's the Christians that's the blight on society. It's the Christians that's causing these events that are taking place. But it is, ladies and gentlemen, there's total silence, a total blockage of any news about what's happening on a global basis with the Islamic jihadist and the death of Christians simply because Christians are practicing their faith. There's that hidden agenda in America, and I'm thankful, as the headline reads, President Trump assigned a task force to root out anti-Christian bias in government. Under the Biden administration, indeed under his mentor Barack Obama, American government was rife with anti-Christian bias. Ladies and gentlemen, it's there, it's real. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Jesus said, if the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. But we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as salt and light in a darkened society. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying.